If one were not born knowing, second paragraph, if one were not born knowing, even though might encounter scriptures and teachers, one couldn't hear of the nature of things. One couldn't witness the nature of things. The great path is not the principle of like someone drinking water knows for himself whether it's warm or cool. All Buddhas as well as all Bodhisattvas and all living beings clarify the great path of the nature of all things by the power of inborn knowing. That to clarify the great path of nature of things following the scriptures or teachers is called clarifying the nature of things by oneself. He says clarifying the nature of things by oneself. Scriptures are the nature of things, oneself. Teachers are the nature of things, oneself. The nature of things is the teacher, the nature of things is oneself. Because the nature of things is oneself, it is not the self conceived by heretics and demons. Okay. In the nature of things, there are no heretics or demons. It is only eating breakfast, eating lunch, having a snack. Okay, and about this. If one were not born knowing, even though might encounter scriptures and teachers, one couldn't hear of the nature of things. One couldn't witness the nature of things. The great path is not the principle of like someone drinking water knows for himself whether it's warm or cool. Born knowing, the translator uses two different way to translate the same original term, shochi. One is born knowing, the first line, and the other one is inborn knowledge. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7th line from the top of second paragraph. Inborn knowledge. Both the same original term, shochi, born knowing. So, if one were not born knowing, one couldn't hear of Dharma nature, one couldn't witness the Dharma nature. So, born knowing, if you were not born knowing, you couldn't hear the voice of the truth, you couldn't realize the truth. That it means. So in this case, born knowing is was something vivified, which is living and refreshing. From moment to moment, how can I say this is something refresh and process itself, and how can I say not concept of the process itself. I don't know how can I say
ability, born knowledge, born knowing is, in this case is something vivid and refresh from moment to moment, okay? Without leaving any trace of its own. Trace means concept as a result of the conscious functioning. Okay? So without leaving any trace of its own, so constantly, how can I say, the flow of process, which causes anything to be vivid and refresh. Is that clear? That is, in this case, Shochi born knowing. So in this case, the Dogen Zenji tried to explain that what the truth is like. Truth, Dharma Nichi is like. Dharma Nichi is something vivid. So the flow of a process which causes you to be vivid, alive, and also refresh from moment to moment. Okay? Where is it? It is right here. So right here is combination of the truth and the phenomena. Right here means true reality. Okay, true reality is right present. Okay, right present. So Dogen Zenji tried to say what the real truth is like. Something vivid and refresh which exists in the present right there. But usually, the truth is dealt with by philosophy and religions, and which it seems to be something separate from phenomena. Or sometimes it seems to be expounded as abstract, conceptual sometimes, very abstract. But people use the truth very much closely connected with us, but still unconsciously they deal with the truth something objective. This is very common. People don't realize. That's why you have to realize and put the truth into practice in the human life. This is real truth. Not secular truth. Secular truth is conceptual understanding. And through your senses, through your experience, individual experience, that is secular truth, secular, Dharma nature, you can say. But what true, real Dharma nature is beyond the individual experience, individual concept. That is real Dharma nature, real truth. Where is it? It is right here. That's the reason try to bring up, present that truth, which is real truth, not secular truth. Okay. But the real truth is existent in our life from moment to moment, and also from this point, you can experience. But if you experience, it is no longer true, real truth, because it becomes individualized. So you have to go beyond this, the individual, so let it go. So finally, you have to touch it, you have to experience it, but you can stay with it, so let it go. Because this is emptiness, teaching over emptiness. But usually people are really stress individual experience of emptiness. They don't know how to be free from individual experience of emptiness. But this is very unconsciously emphasis. Unconscious emphasis is going always, because if that is nothing to depend on, it makes us very restless, unconsciously. So that's why unconsciously we try to get to depend on. This is very common. That is what make it possible for us to do this. That is so-called ignorance, we say. Automatically, we do. Since your birth, already we do it. So we have to be free from that. That's pretty difficult practice. And also you cannot get it quickly. So you have to practice day by day and on the everyday basis. That's very long practice. And what seems to be a slow, seems to be a practice in slow, but it is very important. And also that slow, the slowness in the practice, is really quickest way to reach the, what real truth is like. But we don't understand it. That's why we make lots of complaints and the grumbling and the stumbling rivers and the try to escape lots of stuff coming up. So I think that's why he says, if one were not born knowing, okay, so your body and mind are not the concept of the five skandhas. If your body and mind are not five skandhas, which you have understood, but your five skandhas are exactly nothing but the truth as it really is. That's pretty difficult to understand. And also, it's very difficult for us to accept five skandhas, which is exactly truth. But Dogen Denji mentions like this. So, even though, if you are not born knowing, even though might encounter scriptures and teachers, one couldn't hear of the nature of things. So, if you don't practice like this, if you don't accept five skandhas as exactly truth as it is, no matter how long you practice under the guidance of teacher or reading scriptures, you never taste the real truth. That's Dogen Denji mentioning here. So one couldn't witness the nature of things because you always try to get result of your practice. So called individual experience is important, but real truth is beyond this. But usually we don't do it, we don't realize that one. That's why we depend on something which you have experienced as a result of your practice. Then if you feel good in that experience, if your experience gives you a lot of information to you, then you really are pleased with continuity of the practice and accomplishing Buddha way. So that's why next Dogen Denji mentions the great path is not the principle of light someone drinking water knows for himself whether it's warm or cool. Okay. This is very different, the very important point. Buddha and ancestors constantly mentions, even though the theoretical, in terms of Buddhology, I think you try to study that very carefully, deeply, profoundly, the teaching of emptiness, interdependent co-origination. Any kind of teaching of Buddhism should be based on this statement Dogen Denji mentions. It is really true. Otherwise, you never taste the real meaning of the emptiness and the interdependent co-origination. Because emptiness is not the concept. It's not individual experience. Something beyond individual experience or not individual experience. It is something there. And also it is not abstract, even though you don't understand it. It is really something true with you constantly. Uh, how can I say, I'm not criticizing the Theravadas and other religious practice, and but I think the most of people are very confused by Theravada practice and the Mahayana practice and you know, the Vipassana practice and the Zen practice, and in comparison with one after another. That is a cause of confusion, comes up constantly. So if you go to the Theravada practice, I think the when I was college, I had the experience of translating some of the Theravada practice into Japanese and published in the journal of Komazawa University. That time I was very surprised to read the Theravada practice. I was really amazed for me, because Theravada practice emphasizes constantly that protecting very strongly the purity under all circumstances. In order to protect the purity, in other words, be away, you have to really concentrate on something. So, whatever you do, Theravada really at the emphasis that you have concentrate, you have to devote yourself to see what you are doing, to think what you are doing from moment to moment. Okay? For instance, I am making straight my back, and then at that time I have to concentrate on thinking, I am straightening my back. And then I am thinking my straight back after, you know, my effort, you know, after careful consideration, etc. Okay? And then next, I feel something. And then next, I have to concentrate on thinking how I feel. From moment to moment, you have to do it. So there is no space to let your mind go somewhere. So your mind must be always with the body. So very clearly, very strongly, you have to do it. Because you have to keep away from distracting conceptions, and distracting circumstances, disturbing conceptions and ideas and circumstances. You have to constantly protect the truth as it is. This is a Theravada practice. That's why if you go to the Theravada monastery, I think immediately you are suckling by that purity as it is. It's very strong. What it is important for us too, but still we don't understand, because the motivation of generally speaking, I'm not criticizing Theravada, okay? Generally, we accept the Theravada teaching like this, okay? We are not pure, so we are pretty weak, so we have to practice. We have to keep purity. I want to be pure, like this. Okay? In order to remain pure, I have to keep away from. How can I keep away from confusion and the suffering and the disturbing conceptions and the etc., discriminations, etc. So we should, anyway, protect the purity. How can we protect the purity? So So let's concentrate on our doings from moment to moment. Okay. So very naturally, there is a very systematical teaching process there, systematical way of practice in order to reach, in order to remain, in order to keep pure. So from this point, what you are doing is nothing but the means to an end. Okay? Is that clear? Means. So if you start to practice, accept Theravada practice as a means, well, even though you reach the end, still, well, means a means. So you can't be free from means. Even though you reach the end, still there is a means, because end, what you have reached, is not real end. So you have to go more, go farther, in order to get real end. Is that clear? So constantly, just like physics. Physics will try to get something pure, you know, which is intact by anybody. So it's very something pure. So they try to research and get it. If they get something pure, they say it is the truth. But it's not real truth. Still they think there is something more, something real truth beyond truth which they have found. So next, they have to move toward that again. So even though you reach the end, end is not end. End is end opposed to means. So naturally, you have to go farther again. So there is no peace, no sense of peace. Even though you reach the nirvana, it's nothing but the secular nirvana. So you have to find more. Because uneasiness, something uneasy is left in somewhere in the bottom of human life. So constantly you have to go. So that's why Dogen Zenji mentions from the beginning, how can you start to practice? Where you are? What is the starting point? How can you start the practice? How can you receive Buddha's teaching? Okay? If you start receive the Theravada as a means to reach the end, you never be free from a means and end. But from the beginning, you have to receive the Theravada as an end, as it is. If you do in that way, of course, it is really sure that you can taste truth as it is. Otherwise, it's very difficult. Because if you receive the Theravada as a means, I think all this you have to attach to the result of the practice which you have done. Okay? For instance, I am doing a show, okay? And then I have to concentrate on thinking what I am doing a show. Okay? And then I attach to how I feel. Okay? And then I put the palm together. And then how I feel. And then if I feel that, and then I have to concentrate on the thinking, what is your feeling? Something like that. So constantly, you have to chase after something with a dregs of time. Do you understand? Always. Instead of just being present in the flow of time. Time is constantly moving, okay? Just like a jet airplane. There is no space to think of a time, speed. No. All you have to do is be one with flow of speed. But if you practice as a means to end, obviously you have to hang on or hanging on the result of the dregs of time. How do I feel? Do you feel good? Yes, I feel good. You don't feel good? I don't feel good. Next, I have to concentrate on the thinking, what is not feeling good. And then I feel sad. And then I have to concentrate on thinking, what the sadness is. From the sadness, what do you experience? All this I have to chase again and again, endlessly. So if you do this, it's fine. It's really you can protect purity from keeping away from interruptions and the discriminations. But what you have to do is what you are doing is to chase after, you know, the dregs of the time. That's it. Always you miss. Slip off the right course of the flow of time. Always slip off. Okay? So, Dogen Zenji and also Buddha Shakyamuni, all ancestors, mentions about the teaching of emptiness. What is emptiness? Emptiness is nothing but the flow of the time. That's why Nagarjuna mentions emptiness is teaching of interdependent co-origination. What is it? Interdependent co-origination? It is nothing but process in actions. Not concept or process. Okay? Process in action, in motion. Which makes you constantly vivid and refresh. This is emptiness. Full function, full aliveness. This is emptiness. Well, how do you do this? You have to be just present in the flow of time. So just like being present exactly in the jet airplane. Being one with speed, time speed. But actually, in our practice, we don't do it. Always chasing after result of the practice which you have done. This is very common. What makes you, what caused you to do this? That is ignorance. Automatically you do it. Automatically. That's why it's not so easy to get the nirvana as it really is. Okay? Even though you believe I attained the nirvana, it is not real nirvana. It is secular nirvana. Real nirvana is something vivid, refresh. It's something. So what is the practice of true nirvana which makes you vivid and refresh? Nothing specific. All you have to do is, if you have to be here, you have to be here. That's it. If you have to sit down, you have to sit down. That's why the Dogen mentions last sentence, in the nature of the things, there are no heretics or demons. It is only eating breakfast, eating lunch, having a snack, something like that. Finally, practice is what? It's very simple practice. Eating lunch, eating or drinking coffee, drinking tea is not the chasing after dregs of drinking. Okay? It is not that someone drinking water knows whether it's warm or cool. No. To drink, process to drink is very important. You must be right there. Flow of drinking, okay? Flow of drinking, exactly. What is this? You have to pay attention to this. In that practice, in that process, in action, okay, in motion, that is temporarily called Dharma nature, truth, or born knowing. If you are right on, right in there, your life is born knowing, which causes what makes your life vivid and refresh. Without leaving any trace of its own. This is called Dharma nature. This is called truth in Buddhism. So what is the practice of truth? Nothing special. Finally, nothing special. But we always want to have something special, even a little bit. Please. We want to always say, please, Buddha, give us something fascinating. Something, even a little bit, please. You know, we can't be right in the middle of emptiness. It's pretty hard, don't you think so? If you are right in the middle of emptiness, you're scared. For instance, this is wonderful situation. Well, you, all of you exist here. 10 people exist, live together in this nature. And then you enjoy very much quietness, okay? Emptiness, something like that. But if you are living alone, completely alone, you're scared. You are really scared by quietness. You know, mosquito in the you know, San Francisco or any place, Japan, mosquito is not much, many mosquitoes. But in Minneapolis, you know, mosquito jam of the whole Minneapolis is completely jammed by the mosquitoes, you know. Wherever you may go, you can't escape the mosquitoes. At that time, you're scared by mosquitoes. But when the mosquito in this room, one or two or ten mosquitoes here, and bite you, at that time, oh, mosquito, don't disturb me. Please, I want to be a friend next life. Something like that. You can express your compassion. But when this room is completely jammed by mosquito, how can you express your compassion? You immediately, like this, go away. Don't you think so? You're scared. This is very natural. So all the scared, that's why human beings are very egoistic, you know, very narrow understanding, very narrow view. When they feel convenient, in many sense, unconsciously or consciously, they always try to express compassion, kindness, in many ways. But if he or she is not inconvenient, okay, in many ways, immediately they don't accept anything. Or if there is completely nothing, okay, it's very hard to be. So human beings, pretty egoistic and pretty narrow understanding. And then we are always arguing about the not killing in terms of narrow understanding, okay? We have a lot of space, you know, ego consciousness can play, you know, be free and feel good. Ego consciousness feel good. While ego consciousness feel good, we can talk about, you know, not killing, you know, not killing with the concept. So that's why don't kill the mosquito, don't kill the flies. It's a lot of argument coming up. But it is not. They don't understand exactly the real meaning of not killing, because they don't understand themselves how egoistic human beings are. When you are put right in the middle of jam of mosquito, what do you do? Can't you let all mosquito go and you just offer your life to the mosquito? If you can, you are really Buddha. I experienced during the Second World War. I told you before I went to the serving the army. I had the very strong the determination to offer my life to the Japan. You know, patriotism. Exactly. You know, anytime I am ready to die. But when at the moment when the bomb exploded, I immediately escaped, jumping into the hole in the ground and chanting the name of one tower, please help. Do you understand that? So what is my determination? I am ready to die anytime. What is this? It's just my understanding. It's very narrow understanding. That's why human beings are very egoistic. So whatever you are practicing as a means to an end, this kind of ego consciousness always appears. You'll never be free from that ego consciousness. So that's why from the beginning, you have to anyway accept the practice not as a result of the time, the dregs of time. You have to constantly be present, practice as it is. You have to be right in the middle of process in actions. Even though you don't understand it, whatever you feel, anyway, we have to continue practice from the beginning to end. That is most important for us. Because whatever you make or whatever you do, this is our only unique practice anyone can do. And this practice is completely open universally to the trees, to the human beings, whatever kind of occupation you follow. Artists, pianists, or musicians and sportsmen all follow in this way. Much more. Spiritual person who really seek for the truth. You have to constantly seek for this way of practice. Otherwise, you don't understand the spiritual world, spiritual life, Buddhist world. So, I think the Dogen Zenji doesn't criticize any of the religions, any denominations, but Dogen Zenji always said they present what is the most important quality of the practice. Not arguing, discussing about the idea of the practice, idea of the way. There are many, millions, millions of ways to climb, to reach the peak, so-called the truth. Sportsman, as a sportsman, there is a way to climb the truth peak as a sportsman. So there are many, many, million, million, myriads, anyway, ways to reach the peak. But in any circle of the human life, sportsman, there is a particular mountains, particular peak of the mountains, which has its own form, so-called sports. So they are pretty easy to climb this kind of mountain because right in front of them, there is a form of mountains. Musician, there is a form of mountains, so-called music. Rock climb, there is a mountain, form of mountains. They can see, they can hear, they can climb practically. But how about the spiritual practice? Is there a very clear, definite form of mountains you can climb? If you say yes, where is it? What is it? If you say no, is that true? So spiritual mountain of the spiritual life is really huge and vast. No form, no colors, but it's whole universe. This is a mountain. Whole universe is still term. How can you climb these mountains? In order to reach the peak of that mountain, there are many kind of denominations. Naturally, many ways to climb the peak occur for human beings. But it's very difficult to practice exactly as it is, as they are. Not the profound teaching of a certain a way, in other words, not the deep teaching of so-called Zen Buddhism. Okay? If you compare with it, the teaching of other denominations, then say Zen is not the deep teachings. Okay? This is a certain way I mentioned to climb the mountain, so called Zen Buddhism. Now, on the other end, Shin school, Pure school, on the other end, Christianity there, on the other end, Theravadas, many kinds of Theravada there, many kinds of Christianity there, many different ways. We are not discussing about what's the difference, how deep or how shallow. Teachings are. It's ridiculous if you discuss about it, because endlessly. Question is, if you make a choice of one as a way to climb the mountain, how much you can give a quality to that way? You have to make a choice. Okay? This is a practice Dogen Zenji constantly emphasizes. whatever kind of way you want to make a choice, fine. It is the second life because it is a karmic life. Why do you make a choice of Zen practice? Other people say you are ridiculous. Getting up in the morning, early in the morning, why do you get up in the early morning? Why don't you sleep more? It's good for your health. Get up in the morning is not good for you. Something like that. Well, people always say about this one. Why do you choose the Zen Buddhism? You don't know. Because it is your karmic life. You already choose. You have already chosen a certain way. So don't discuss about that certain way you have chosen, okay? Point is, if you are there, how much you can give a quality to that way you have chosen, okay? This is a very important for us. What is a time you can give the best quality to it? Where is it? What is a time? What is the best time you can give best quality to that way you want to climb the mountain? What is practice? This is a constant to Dogen then present to us, okay? So if you don't believe me, I think read the record of things I heard. We didn't want to mention about this one. For instance, there is an interesting story, maybe you have read. And Buddhist monk crossed the river with his friend, and they two different denominations, you know. Each belonged to the different Buddhist school, you know. Shingon school and Zen Buddhism, etc. Okay, and then at the moment when they got off from the boat, and then a dog started to bark at them because they were the rope, etc. And then one of the monks started to chant the Dharanis constantly in order to keep away the dogs barking at them. But the more he chanted strongly, loudly, the Dharani and Buddhist scriptures, etc., the more the dog loudly, the more loudly dog bark at them. And then the other monk says, you can't stop the barking, you can't stop the dog barking. And then the dog monk says, how about you? You can stop the barking, dog the barking? He said immediately, took out the bread from his sleeve and give it. And then dogs stop barking. It's a real practice. Do you understand this one? It's an example that I think we do always. This is not a story. This is we do always constantly. So I think the giving a quality to that way you have chosen is not the talking about the idea, not the following the teaching. Actually, you have to be one with your object anyway. When you do the Zen, you have to be one anyway. You have to give a quality to the Zen. You have to give a quality to your way to climb the peak of the mountains. That is a story mentioned that give the piece of bread to the dog is the immediate concrete aspect of the practice, instead of discussing about how or teaching would give us a way to stop dog barking. So I think this is a Dogen Zenmation here. If what you are not born knowing, even though might encounter scriptures and teachers, one couldn't hear of the nature of things. One couldn't witness the nature of things. Witness means exactly taste. You couldn't taste what the truth truly is. Okay? Not secular truth. True truth. Okay? So the great path is not the principle of life, someone drinking water knows for himself whether it's warm or cool, okay? This is a very important point. Next, all Buddhas as well as all Bodhisattvas and all living beings clarify the great path of the nature of all things by the power of inborn knowledge. Inborn knowledge, this is exactly the same as born knowing. Okay? You have to find the real truth, which is really alive, which is something vivid and refresh. Okay? And put it into practice. This is inborn knowledge or born knowledge, because this is the true truth which exists right here, right now. In other words, born knowing or inborn knowledge means true reality. In other words, true reality. So true reality is very tricky, not tricky exactly, but tricky, very tricky. You don't know what it is because it is true. So I think I mentioned in my term, maybe I can say truth, the real truth is very slipperiness and openness. It is a characteristic of the truth, real truth. That real truth exists right in the midst of true reality you live in from moment to moment. So it is very simply and also open, completely open. So if you touch it, slip off. If you don't touch it, you slip off either. But if you are there, open your hand, let it go, then open it. Many things comes into you. So if you read the Dogen Zen's Bindo Ho Bindoa, I think the Dogen Zen mentions, if you let go of it, then you can myriad things in your hand. So it's very slippery. If you touch it, it's no longer truth. If you ignore it, you cannot be there. Well, Sando Kai or Hokyo Zamma mentions, if you touch it, you are burned out. If you don't, you are frozen. Yeah, something like that. Or sometimes, forward step and backward steps. So, real reality is one piece of paper with two aspects, forward and backward step. Slipperiness and openness. Openness means that everything is open to you, so you can be there. So if you are there, you want to touch it. If you touch it, you are not open. So it's very slippery. It's very difficult to know. So that means you cannot stay with, even slightly, with the concept or drifts of time. You must be going back to anywhere. Flow of process in action, concentrate. Come back. Experience it, let it go. Experience it, let it go. That always practice we do. So, that's why that is a great path. Real truth is really great path we have to walk. Anybody, anything. So, clarify the great path of nature of beings by the power of inborn knowledge. Okay? Anyway, we have to clarify great paths, we have to clarify Buddha's way and by this power of something which makes life vivid and refresh. Right here, right now. To clarify the great path of nature of the things following the scriptures and teachers is called clarifying the nature of things by oneself. So, scriptures are nature of things are oneself. Scriptures are the truth. And also scriptures are the self. So to read the scripture is not to get the knowledge from the scriptures. To read the scripture is to read the self. So I think you have to go deeply into the self. You have to research. You go around again and again and taste what the self is like through the scriptures. So scripture talking about the quality of the self. The self is the scriptures. The self is the teacher anyway. That's why it says the nature of things are self. Teachers are the nature of the things are oneself. The nature of things is the teacher. The nature of things is oneself. Because the nature of things is oneself, it is not the self misconceived by heretics and demons. In the nature of the things, there are no heretics and demons. So, what it is only eating breakfast, eating lunch, having a snack, means reading the scripture is to read, reading the self. Means you have to constantly be present in the flow of time process. Constantly. Come back there. What is this? This is a simple practice. Anyway, simple practice. When you have a breakfast, breakfast must be breakfast. You are breakfast. You are breakfast is you. Means breakfast is going as a breakfast. If you see that total picture in terms of breakfast, there is no sense of you because you are breakfast. So just the breakfast is going. If you see the total picture of breakfast and you in terms of you, you are just going as you as really is. That's it. So no breakfast. That is called when the one is appears, one is manifested, the other one is in darkness. So all sentient beings are absorbed into your life. If you get sure, if you do get sure, and the being constantly present in the flow of time process, in the process, in action, constantly, if you are there, immediately, you are just you. The whole thing, the whole universe comes into you as a quality of your life. So, very naturally, you become stable and steadfast. Because all sentient beings support beyond your speculations. This is called when one is appear manifested, the other one is in darkness. Means the other one is absorbed into your life as a quality. So very naturally, even though you don't see it, it's supporting constantly. Just like a driving I mentioned constantly. If you study and the traffic rules again and again until you can digest them completely into your life, well, all you have to do is just drive. At that time, total picture of the driving, including you and car. If you see total picture in terms of you, there is no traffic rules. You just drive you. No cars, no traffic rules. You just drive you. But it doesn't mean you completely forget traffic rules. Traffic rules, cars are completely absorbed into your life as a quality of your life, supporting your life. That's why if something happens, you can immediately stop the brake. You can stop the car. Traffic rules come up automatically because all are already existent with you as a quality of your life, supporting. Even though you are not conscious of it. This is called when one is manifesting, the other one is in darkness. That is called Dzogchen. Right understanding, right view is conveyed. Dzogchen means all are absorbed into Bruce I. Means if you exist within the Gassho, all media dharmas are absorbed into this one form of Gassho. That is so called Buddhist practice. Okay? That is called scripture is the self, and the teacher is self. Dogen Zenji also mentions in Jisho Zammai of Shobo Genzo like this. He said, following the teacher, following scripture is following the self. So, studying, reading, and following the scripture is following you. Studying you, anyway. Scripture itself is self-scripture. I translated self-scriptures. Anyway, means the scripture is just a scripture. If you face, if you sit down with the scripture and read it, at that time, scripture itself just go. You are absorbed into scriptures. That is called scripture is self-scriptures. Scripture, anyway, just goes scriptures. You are absorbed into scripture. That's why you can learn who you are naturally. Even though you don't understand or you understand beyond this one, you are always absorbed into the scripture. That's why you can learn. Even though at that moment you don't understand anything, but you have a lot to learn. So beyond understanding or not understanding, exactly. So that is the scripture itself is self scripture. Well, I'm sorry, this is a not good translation, but anyway, let me say it like this: a teacher himself is self teacher. Okay. So a teacher himself is a teacher. You know, teacher is just teacher. Teacher goes just as a teacher. At that time, you are absorbed into the teacher's life. At that time, you can learn a lot from teacher. Not human karmic life. Through the karmic life, you can learn the Dharma. Dharma natures like this. Hence, going the round and practice with a teacher is going the round and practice with a self. Okay? In Japanese, Hinsan chishiki, hin means to go around, to travel, to trip, you know, around. San means surrender, okay? Surrender. So, to go around and surrender to the teacher is to go around and surrender to the self. This is true. If you don't surrender to the teacher, how can you surrender to yourself? If you cannot surrender to yourself, how can you take care of teachers or others? If you cannot enough taking care of others, how can you take care of you? So in the Zen monastery, there is a position so called Disha and Anja. The teacher always wait and Andrew or Disha put the sandal with the getas and right in front of him. But it doesn't mean the hierarchy. I think the Disha and Andrew has to learn how to take care of the self. In order to take care of self, teacher has to, anyway, wait, be patient until Disha and puts the sandal there. Whatever people criticize me, anyway, I have to stand up there. But in terms of the usual sense, that the teacher is always just like a baby, standing over there. And but they always sit down and stretch the legs and the mothers put the socks. It's quite different anyway, okay? But mothers enjoy very much putting the sandals and putting the socks on the babies or the her boys, you know, legs. Because she learned a lot how to take care of herself. Through that practice, she can learn, anyway, heart of the boys, human beings. So through this, the position, the practice of Anja and Disha, you have to, anyway, learn how to take care of Usually we always take care of ourselves. But I don't know how much you can take care of yourself. Pre-egoistically, you take care of yourself. But beyond egoistic sense, you don't take care of yourself completely as a Buddha. No. But if you want to take care of yourself, I think beyond egoistic sense, you have to take care of yourself under all circumstances. Even though you feel good, you don't feel good, you have to take best care of yourself. But it's very difficult. But if you become Anja and Jisha and take care of teacher, I think you can learn a little bit from that. That is most important. That's why the Anja and Jisha in the Zen monastery is pretty important practice for us. It is not the usual, you know, maid job of a maid housemaid. I don't think so. So you have to learn. You have to learn the Buddha's world, okay? Buddha's world. Through taking care of teacher, through taking care of yourself, okay? So to practice under him is to practice under you, okay? To practice teacher. Learning the teacher is learning you. So that's why he says, going around, obviously you have to research what the teacher is, going around the teachers, you know, tripping, take a trip, round trip. Who is he? What is the teachers? Arguing, not. No questions, no answers. No matter how long you trip, you know, around the teacher, no answers. And then you hate the teacher. But I don't think if you hate the teacher, that means you hate yourself. Because to go around the teacher and try to get to something is to go around you. Try to get something. But finally nothing. Nothing is. What you can learn what the real nature of the teacher's life is like. So yes, that's why going the Hensan Chishiki is Hensan Jiko, means Hensan means go around, okay? Goes around. I translate it literally, okay? Going around and practicing with the teacher, that is Hensan Chishiki, okay? Is going around and practice with self. Taking up 100 grasses is taking up the self. In other words, dealing with the grasses, 100 grasses is dealing with the self. In other words, dealing with the toilet paper is dealing with the self. Okay? Taking up the million trees is taking up the self. Drinking a tea and walking with the field of nature, being present in the wilderness, and seeing the trees, listening to the birds singing, it is listening to you. So that's why taking up million trees is taking up the self. We should study thoroughly that the self is to direct effort to accomplish immo, which means what? What? What means constant, continuous investigation, without leaving any answer? Of course, you can get an answer. That's why you have to, next, you have to live your answer, which you have had. Okay? So, constant investigation of the self without staying with any answer because you have had answer. So, you have an answer, next, let go of the answer. So, constantly, continuous investigation. This is called immo, which means what? How? So, in this case, immo in Zen is the presentation of the truth as it is, which is found in true reality. Okay? So that is called immo. In the Shobo Genzo, there is a particular chapter called immo. It is a Chinese, which means what or how. So, what is a self? Self is to direct the effort to accomplish this what? What is a practice? What? Means you have to do the show, you have to be the right in the process, in action, concentrate. And then you immediately get something experience. Then you want to stay with it. No. You have to continually look into, is that true? So continually you have to research. Continually you have to look into the experience that you have had. Is that true experience? Is that true meaning we have to depend on or we have to stay with it? Whatever. Good or bad, right, wrong. This sangaku liberates the self and causes the self to accord with the truth. That's why this sangaku means this kind of practice anyway liberates you, natural liberates you. Okay? This is our practice mentioned by Buddhas and ancestors. It is with, as a general, not attaching to a certain denomination of Buddhist school, Buddhist teaching. Okay? I'm not talking about Zen Buddhism. I'm not talking about Theravada. I'm talking about total picture, totality of the Buddhist teaching in general. Okay? That is a practice we have to do. Okay? But each of the denomination among the Buddhism always attached to its own denomination, its own teaching. It is fine. But still, there is something we have to do. That is going beyond individual teaching of denomination. That is how. We don't know how. That's why Dogen Zenji presents how we should practice, how we can go beyond individual teaching of denominations. Without denomination, we cannot study. That's why we should study the denomination, but it is not goal. It is not goal to learn the individual teaching of denomination. Next, we have to go beyond this one. Then if you go beyond this one, naturally, real teaching, individual teaching of denomination occurs vividly. Refresh. It becomes refresh and vivid. That is our practice constantly. I mentioned sometimes the way you master the calligraphy, you have to study the calligraphy under the teacher. Okay? And then you can learn a certain type of a teacher's calligraphy. You can digest it. But it's not good enough. Next, you have to go beyond this teacher's type. So next, you have to learn something more than this under the different teachers, etc. And then you can go beyond. If you go beyond, next, real calligraphy coming from your art appears. This is our practice. Constantly, we have to do it. That's why this is called sangaku. We have to do. That sangaku liberates you. So if you practice this one, that practice of calligraphy liberates you, liberates of your type, and causes your type to accord with the truth. For this, you have to constantly go beyond. So that is a self. Okay? That's why Dogen Zenji mentions a very clear definition of the self. What is a self? To learn the self, to learn the Buddhism is to learn the self. What is the self? What kind of self we should learn? He says self is to direct effort to accomplish or to master. Immo, what? How? To direct the effort means in Japanese kuhu. Kuhu means one of the instruments a carpenter has to measure the level. You know, what would you say, leveler? Level. That is cool. You have to always see the level, the perfect level with your instrument, carpenter's instrument. Okay? Because we attach to either one of them pretty easily. We attach to the dregs of time pretty easily. That's why to direct the effort to do something is to find out perfect level, always, with instrument. What kind of instrument? This is a level. What is a level? This is a Buddha scriptures, teachers. So called Dharma, okay? Dharma. So that is a direct, I say direct effort, means kuhu. And the who of kuhu is great, steadfast person, okay? If you always measure, if you always watch, perfect level, okay? With the instrument, so called the scriptures and the teacher, that person is great, brave, courage person, steadfast person. That is kuhu, we say. Kuhu bendo means to direct effort to master the Buddha way. Okay? So to direct effort means to constantly, you have to see the perfect level. Because the little attachment always along with us to either one of them, so called breadth of times. So with that, to attach to the breadth of time, you have to always go be present in the flow of process, okay? Flow of time in actions. That is a perfect level, okay? Perfect level. Because that practice makes you, liberate you, because that practice makes your life vivid and refresh. That is called liberation. Liberation. Naturally, that self, which has liberated you, accords with truth, Dharma nature. Okay? That is called perfect level. Okay? So called nirvana. Tranquility, sometimes we say. Okay, do you have a question?
The second sentence there says the great path is not the principle of like someone drinking water knows for himself whether it's warm or cool. I'm missing what that metaphor is. Is that like conceptual knowledge? The person who knows whether the water is warm or cool?
That is the kind of... this is kind of the expression of... Buddhism, we always say, instead of understanding something intellectually, you should do something actually like this. You know? So, go, drink a cup of water. If you want to know what the water is like, go and drink a cup of water. Something like that. Okay? So, Zen Buddhism also considered as like this. This is a kind of the phrase. Kind of a certain phrase.
Doesn't say it's not like someone who knows for himself whether the water is warm or cool.
You're not someone. So, it is not. Do you understand?
Well, I thought,
no, because
what I was thinking is someone who knows whether the water is warm or cool is someone who's tasting water.
It's not. It's not your Dharma nature. It's not the person. It's not the person who understands the real Dharma nature.
It is not like what kind of person? Who
understands the real Dharma nature is the person who is not the person who knows drinking water, such and such. I said drinking water, to know something water by drinking, that is a direct experience.
Right.
But it is nothing but that, the sitting in the chair of dregs of time.
Oh, okay. So
It is not the real person. It is not person who understand Dharma nature, because Dharma nature is something alive vividly in every moment, every life, in every human life.
Yeah, so this person is sitting on the stool of knowing what is warm, cool.
Yes.
There,
yeah, stuck there. Right. All the chasing after the concept, the result.
Okay.
Always. Just like a salt in the, just like a, you know, sit down in the bathtub, you need it, you feel, oh, good. And then we stay with a, oh, good, something like that. And then completely we forget before the great world, unity of the world, you know, before you say, oh, wonderful. From where, oh, wonderful, come. Unity of the whole universe. Okay? Is that clear? So, I think I mentioned from this point, don't criticize anybody, any other way of spiritual life, okay? You can criticize, and but in order to know, in order to present this kind of a real practice, I think sometimes you have to, what's the difference between? What's the different points? Subtle different. Appearing to almost the same. But a real subtle, profound difference there. People don't notice, though. And also this kind of practice is very slow. Very slow. Okay, do you have another question?
How does one take care of one's life beyond the egoistic sense?
Do you think there's any particular way? Well, when you think that while you are taking care of something, then when you feel the, even the fact, oh, that's the egoistic sense, that's pretty good. You know. And then the next, I think what you have to do is forget it, and all you have to do is offer your kindness and compassion to all that. That's the best way. So no particular pattern on how to be, you know, free from egoistic sense. Because the egoistic sense always appears. So if you continually discuss about how to get away from an egoistic sense, obviously you can create another ideas of the egoistic sense. In other words, if you see the one egoistic sense, and then try to get out from that one egoistic sense, in order to get out from that egoistic sense, you have to get another different type of egoistic sense by which you can get rid of it. One egoistic sense. Do you understand? We have this constant. So real freedom, liberate the egoistic sense, is something yet.